Romans chapter 8, we'll be looking at leading and perception. And we have focused a whole lot on prophecy, tongues and interpretation, and the place of the inward witness in all of that. So Romans chapter 8, I want to round off this week so we can look at other things along this lane from next week. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. An important factor in the epistle is the term the Spirit. If you notice, when Jesus was leaving the earth, I'm talking about the Gospel of John, he emphatically, that's John 14, 15 and 16, you know, that's the only place in the scripture where you will see Jesus being definite about what will come to us or who will come to us upon his resurrection. And so, those three chapters particularly focus on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Those three chapters, John 14, 16, 17, John 14, 26, John 16, from verse 7 to about verse 13. Then John 15, I said that, verse 26. He focused on that. I got John 17. He said, the same glory that you gave me, I gave to them. Of course, when it says the glory that you gave me, was referring again to the Spirit. So, we have that important element in the New Covenant, or better still, in the Epistles. So, if we're going to discuss any subject, whether it's conduct, whether it's guidance, direction, wisdom, counsel, whatever subject we have to discuss will be in the Spirit. So, in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, which I tried to highlight last week, when it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, and that's what you have the word ago, which means to take up. Okay? That is, he takes responsibility. The Spirit takes responsibility. Romans 8 14, and of which we can identify a couple of things. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in has set me free. So, the freedom in Christ is in the Spirit of life. Romans 8 2. Then again, we have highlighted as well. It says, we, those are of the Spirit, do mind, after the Spirit, do mind the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. Then you discover that it talks about being spiritually minded is life and peace. And then, Romans chapter 8 verse 6. Then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the Spirit is life. Verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you quicken your mortal body. Verse 13, you through the Spirit multiply the deeds of the body, you shall live. Alright? Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then verse 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage against fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Well, yeah, the Spirit itself, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are. So you see that there was so much discussion on the Spirit. And you can read just about every epistle that Paul, in fact in Galatians 3, he says, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you should not obey the truth, before whom highs was Jesus Christ set forth crucified among you. Then it says, having begun in the Spirit, you now want to be made perfect by the flesh. So you can see that he points out this vital element in the faith as being in the Spirit. So when we say in Christ, we also mean in the Spirit. When we mean in the faith, we also mean in the Spirit. So when we say in the Spirit, And in Christ, we are just interchanging what means the same thing. So when he says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, even though we know that that text doesn't refer to guidance alone, but it includes guidance because we have the Spirit's witness in verse 16 that we are the children of God. And our witness is the word somaturio, which is son, means together with. Maturio means an evidence. That means the same kind of evidence. That's what it means. The same evidence. It says the Spirit itself bears witness with some material. And we said that that word is an active term, that it is not a past tense. Every time you see the word some material used, it is an event or an experience. For example, look at Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 9, where you have that word used. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2:15. I'll start from 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things, not the word do, that's what it is, do by nature the things contained in the law. This, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Alright? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. That is, what is in the law is in their conscience. That's exactly what he's saying. So when he says the Spirit bears witness with, he's saying what is in the Spirit is in our spirit. In other words, you will not find a difference, a distinction, a distinguishing between the law and what is in their heart. You will not find a difference between the Spirit, and that's why it says our spirit. And it doesn't use the word in plural. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So the Spirit is our spirit, that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 9. The word son material, active term. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Simple. An active term. So, the same Spirit. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Son is the same Spirit. Is that there? The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Son is the same Spirit. Again, refresh your memory and look at Romans 8:2. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice the word "the Spirit" now summarizes everything I talked about. In the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any have not the Spirit of Christ, someday I'm going to deconstruct that verse. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, why did he say in the Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ? You know, we'll deconstruct it someday, not tomorrow morning. Alright? If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of these. If Christ be in you, then the Spirit is life. So, the Spirit is life. Then in 11, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So, that is why verse 16 will now say, our spirit bears witness with our spirit. Because he has told you, our spirit is called the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sons. The spirit of sons is not a garment we wear so that we pretend that we are sons. The spirit of the son is the life, the DNA of the believer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, that is clear. Now, having said that, that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Son are saying the same thing. I've heard people say, for instance, that when you get born again, what you have is the Spirit of Christ. Then, you now receive the Spirit of God. The funny part is that the Spirit of Christ was used just once. We have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But the Spirit of Christ is just used once. The other one you have is the Spirit testifying of Christ, which is 1 Peter 1:11-12. So, now, here, he says the same. So before we go further, listen carefully to that. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Son is what? Same. Now, when you have some material, it simply means that what you find in one is in the other. There will be no distinction. The distinction will not be in quality, it will be in quantity. I'll tell you what I mean. What is in A is in B. The only difference is that A is not B. That is the most carnal way to explain it. Allow me. So, we want to look at, having said that, because that has to settle in your mind. First of all, settle that in your mind. There are no two spirits in Christianity. There are no two spirits in Christianity. So settle that in your mind. Now, you settle that in your mind, that there are no two spirits in Christianity. It's the same. So, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to teach how the Spirit functions. Because if we're looking at the inward witness, because, you know, so far, if you notice the tilt of this teaching, we have said so much about guidance through the gifts of the Spirit. Am I right? Uh-huh. Now, this is really where we are going. And it's the last session of this series. Though I must have mentioned it, you know, in different forms. But pay attention now, which is always ready. So what is it, how the Spirit, God, we said that the word witness is an active term. It's not like a stamp. It's an active term. That's why some material means to voice out, to give credible evidence, or to witness of, or witness to. So, look at 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 10. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Preposition by. So, if you have the word by His Spirit, what will first of all come to your mind is the Spirit of God, your spirit. Okay? So God reveals it to your spirit by His Spirit. If you say that, it shows that His Spirit is not your spirit. Or, your spirit is not His Spirit. And that will contradict Paul's submission. Not even in Romans. Because Paul submitting 1 Corinthians 6:17, that we are one spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12:4, the same spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the same spirit. So, that submission will be faulty. But before we go there, you know this preposition by? In the Greek, it can be from, It can also be in or off. We will look at this. So we say, God has given them to us by His Spirit. What if we look at in His Spirit? So, if we say in His Spirit, let's see whether that can help. Because we can equally be translated. Don't worry. Whatever John said will happen to you. Alright, don't be scared. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Reveal them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man which is in him? So he knows the things of that man. It's not that the man is telling him the things of him. He knows. Where is the word knows? It means to recognize. We come to that. That's a very key word. He recognizes the things of the man. Or he gives recognition to the things of the man. So he says, so the things of God knows no man or no one but the Spirit of God. So you can see that it discusses two personalities. The Spirit of man, which knows the things of a man. And the Spirit which is of God, which knows the things of God. So we have been given the Spirit of God, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now there's a verse there that the minute you don't pay attention to that verse, or you read verse 10, 11, and 12 in isolation of that verse, you lose everything he's saying. Now, what are we referring to? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, but as before we go to verse 10, he was talking about knowing. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now let me ask, the princes of this world, were they men? But they are still men. That means, the princes of this world will be those who say, what man knows the things of a man? Save the Spirit of man, the man which is in him. Right? So, the princes of this world will know the things of this world. Are you there? So, it's about knowing. They will recognize and function in that which belongs to man. So, it says, but as it is written, pay attention, let me ask, how do the princes of this world know? They know how. Verse 9. I have not seen, neither hear heard, or no hear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. A simple Bible interpretation says to you that what he's talking about is the heart of man. Because the way the heart knows is by what? Huh? Seeing, and how do you know things? By seeing. Huh? So where do you know it? The heart of man there will be what? The mind. So the doorway to your thinking is where? Your eyes and your ears. So, pay attention. So the knowing, pay attention here. The knowing is where? What was the knowing? The knowing he has been discussed is the knowing in the mind. Because if you remove a step, the whole logical conclusion doesn't make sense. Take away verse 10. And read from verse 8 to verse 10. Sorry, verse 9. Sorry. Read verse 8 and verse 10. Let's read verse 8 together. I said remove verse 9. Start from 8 and go straight to verse 10. Let's go. But God had revealed. Does it flow? Does it flow? If you take verse 9, does it flow? It can't flow now. Because verse 10 explains the kind of knowledge he's talking about. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man. Because by the time you go further, it says they are spiritually discerned. So he understands not the things of the Spirit of God. So he's talking about understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he says that we might know, what would you say? That the mind of man might know. Is that clear? That we might know the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. That is, the mind of a man cannot comprehend the things of God but the Spirit of God. Are you following that? So, settle it in your mind that he's talking about the mind of man. I have not seen. He has not heard. Are you there? Is that clear? Good. So, we said, how does an information get to your mind? By what you see and what you hear. I will see later that is why your mind only understands tongues. By your words. You know, your mind, if you are speaking with tongues, your mind is unfruitful until you say the tongues in a non-language. That is when the information enters your mind. So the mind will function by words. Words have to come to it, what you hear or what you say. Or better, sorry. What you hear by what you say. I'm coming to that. Notice he didn't say that the mouth has not spoken. He said, I have not seen. You know, pay attention. Information does not come to your mind, but through your ears or your eyes. So when you interpret tongues, what are you doing? You are speaking through your ears. Are you following? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? How does it go into your mind? By what you say. So, let's proceed further. So we said the mind of man is the issue. Look at the word, verse 10, the verse 9. Neither has it entered. That word entered, you know, as you came into the door of the auditorium now, you entered. But it's a stronger word than that. That word is anabino. Anabino refers to climb a stair, to ascend. Used 22 times in the Greek. Which means that, of course, that elevates mind beyond what? Beyond the eyes and the ears. That is, information ascends to the mind through the eyes and the ears. So, again he says, I have not seen, he has not heard, Then has he entered or ascended up to the mind of man. The things, notice the word things, the Greek word pantas or panta, which means whenever I say the word panta, today if we are going to translate it, we rather put these things. Because if it says the things, that's too open-ended. These things is specified. Because it says the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Verse 9. Verse 10. God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Them, verse 10, the things, in fact, let's start from verse 9. Verse 6 calls it the wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 7, the wisdom of God. Eden. Verse 9. The wisdom of God is called the things God has prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10 calls it the deep things of God. Verse 11 says the things of God knows no man. Verse 12 says the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 now says spiritual things. Verse 14 now calls them the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 16 now calls it the mind of the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if you are going to say the things, it has to be these things. Just like saying, all things work together for good. Panta. All these things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, to whom He did foreknow. Those are the these things. You understand? These things, they work together. Not all things. All these things. Let's just follow what I'm saying here. These things, which is specified. So these things is now explained in verse 29, Romans 8, verse 30, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us. That is, He has explained how God is for us from verse 29, 30. So if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not His own Son and gave Him up for us to die, shall He not with Him freely give us of all things? The things He was referring to is in 29:30. Then, He now talks about justification. Nothing can do for the love of God. Not freely give us of all things, give you car. That's not what He's talking about. Okay? Is that clear? One of the dangers of the grace message, of which I don't preach, one of the dangers of the grace message is the identification with things. It just obliterates everything that is in the message. It becomes a means to an end rather than the very end itself. Hallelujah. A means to get. We have got it. Hallelujah. I like what Andrew Romans says. He says, we have it already. I've not even read the book. I just saw the title. I think I know what should be there. I know what should be there. Amen. I've not read it. But we have it already. Hallelujah. These things. So, these things are the things of the Spirit of God. So, when He says, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And He says those things are the things of the Spirit of God. Do you understand this? They are the things of the Spirit. So, whatever God has freely given to us are the things of the Spirit of God. So, look at the word. Let's go to verse 10, because verse 10 is where we are. God has revealed them. The word revealed is akatakaluptos. No. Apokaluptos, sorry. That was akatakaluptos. It's been on my head for many years. It's 1989. We had a debate on covering of head. Ferocious debate. Not that whether a woman should cover the head or not, it's how should it be covered. Don't get it wrong. I didn't know any Greek word. But I remember somebody brought out a Dick's Bible and he read out teribolia and akata kalupu. So that didn't just talk. Akata kalupu. So every time I see somebody who is not covered, I say that's akata kalupu. Amen. Imagine a debate on, just like the South Baptist, almost year in year out, they have a debate. Who is right? Paul or Jesus? Over 100 years. Who is right? Paul or Jesus? And they will debate for hours. And they will be reading scripture. Paul said, Jesus said. You think they should be prayed for? The word apocalyptos is where you have the word apocalypse, which is where you have revelation. Apocalypsis will be the noun. Apocalyptos will be the verb or adverb. It means to uncover, to bring to light. Obviously, what needs light is the mind of man. So God has revealed them unto us in His Spirit, will be the work of the Spirit of the Son, is to uncover. That means, if these things are the things of the Spirit of God, to uncover will mean there will be an unveiling of the Spirit of God to the mind of man. An unveiling of the Spirit of God to the mind of man. So we begin to uncover, which is the word reveal. It's different from phanerosis, which means to lay bare. Apocalyptos is not to lay bare, it just means to uncover. But phanerosis is a manifestation, it means to be naked. So while revealed can be gradual, manifestation is one. Amen. Are you following that? Manifestation is one. But sometimes, which I must give you a caveat, sometimes it doesn't apply like that. No matter how Greek words differ or Hebrew words, they still have to be looked at in context. So whatever I said now is only valid because the context agrees with it. You understand? Why would I say the context agrees with a gradual progressive unveiling? Because he says the things which the Spirit teaches already shows progression. Do you understand? You should. So, to uncover. So in two ways we'll see something. The Spirit knows. And I want to say something to help you. The Spirit knows and the Spirit does not know. Let me tell you what I mean. The Spirit knows in the sense that it has a recognition. It is conversant with. But the Spirit does not know by teaching. Mm-mm. The Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of the Son, does not know by teaching. Mm-mm. As we are teaching now, we are not teaching the Spirit. We are rather unveiling the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, to your mindset. So, look at that word, know, which Paul used, he kept using it. If they had known, verse 8. Hasn't entered the heart of man, verse 9, verse 10, revealed unto by his Spirit. What man knows things of man? So the word know is a word that means, is the word ginosko. Now it has varied meanings. So if you are used to reading all these dictionaries, you may run to a conclusion which is not the conclusion. Which I mentioned is your context. So, the very root word, I know people use root word a lot these days, but then, I know you know what I mean. The core meaning of that word, ginosko, is more explained in Luke 1:34. That is, all Greek scholars agree that that's the clearest explanation of the word ginosko. Which is, where Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? which is sexual intimacy. I have not experienced a man. She's not saying, I don't know men. I have not experienced a man. So, ginosko is experiential. That is, it is the experience of the object in question. Is used for intimacy. Or what is ongoing there. So, when we say the things of God, we are referring to that experience of the Spirit of God. What is there? Of the Spirit of God. The things are there. God's that experience. It's not just knowledge. Like you are reading something. That is, what we are talking about is in the Spirit of God. Do you understand? What we are referring to is in the Spirit of God. So, whatever is freely given to us of God. That's why I started to tell you who came in early. But by the fact that rather use the word by, we use the word what? In the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, whatever we are referring to is in the Spirit of God. The things in. Notice the word things is in the plural. Things, these things, which he called mysteries. Mystery, mysterion. The wisdom of God. Insight. Because that word wisdom is Sophia, which is insight. Insight. So, the Spirit of God has the experience of God. Knows. However, that we might know. We have said that now that we might know refers to what? The mind of man. Or what you can call the heart of man. Hallelujah. Okay. For example, look at the Pauline prayer. I know I've explained this a couple of times, but it's just good to repeat it. Repetition doesn't kill. Paul says, for me, to say the same thing to you, for me it is not grievous, but for you, it is needful. So look at, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, for you it is needful. Ephesians 1:16 says not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you this spirit. Now, no doubt, any Bible student will question that translation. Will give unto you this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now it says, the eyes of your understanding, which is the eyes of your mind, be enlightened. So, is he giving the spirit to the mind? No. Back up a bit and look at the spirit of wisdom. Now, the way the old English was constructed, before I go there, if you just read verse 3, it says, God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Don't mind those who say the blessed are in the spirit, they bring it to do not manifest it in natural, something like that. It, spiritual means what? From the spirit or of the spirit. So the blessings are where? Of the spirit or from the spirit. Verse 3. It now mentions, being predestined in 5, being chosen in 4, being accepted in 6, being forgiven in 7, wisdom and prudence in 8, and so on and so forth. So it now says in verse 13, whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. I think I finished on Sunday. Huh? Was it Sunday? Baptism. I think I did. Who you trusted the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance. What earnest means? The proof. That is, the proof of all we have is the Spirit. So, we cannot be given another Spirit. Do you understand? So, if we're going to reconstruct 17, it will be, we'll grant to you wisdom, which is revelation from your, because that's how the Spirit works. Revelation from your Spirit to your mind. Do you understand? So it is revelation from where? Because the Spirit teaches the mind via what? Apokalypse. Same word. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? Because there is the things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. The same thing is saying there. That is wisdom, that is not two things. Wisdom is insight. Revelation is how it is given. Wisdom that is insight in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So what happens is the Spirit instructs the mind. Or teaches. Or better still, reveals. And by the time we look at the second time he prayed in chapter 3, he now said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or imagine, according to the power that is working us. So, that answer is in the Spirit. The way that prayer is answered is in the Spirit. Are you there? So, wisdom and revelation, or revelation, wisdom is in the Spirit. It goes to the mind by what? Huh? By what? By what? Because the Spirit knows what happened to Jesus. It's the same Spirit. Right? The Spirit knows what happened. It's not the Spirit that is knowing the exceeding greatness of the Father believes. Do you understand? The Spirit knows that. The Spirit now uncovers that. The Spirit has experienced that ginosko. He now uncovers that to the mind. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you pray the Pauline prayers is the access of the Spirit of God to the mind. It's not God now bestowing wisdom from somewhere to anybody. No. Do you understand? Is that clear? Is that clear? So, fundamentally, we have two kinds of knowledge. There is a knowledge of recognition or experience which the believer has in the Spirit or in his Spirit or in the Spirit of God. And there is now the uncovering, the revelation that goes to our thinking. And that's what we're doing. So, the Spirit relates to the mind. How? By what? By revelation. Revelation will mean it will uncover it in words. By revelation. That's what to do. To uncover it to the mind. Now you will see that Paul oftentimes will write, and he will say, for example, behold, love, sorry, that's John, 1 John 3:1. The Father has bestowed on us. Look at it. Behold. That word behold is to know. So, Paul now will write earlier, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together. That is active knowledge. We know. We recognize. We realize. This happens by teaching. In 1 Corinthians 6, he said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not. So, that knowledge is to come to realize. Know ye not. That's not your spirit, that's your consciousness. It's not your spirit. Because it says, your spirit is the same spirit. It doesn't learn. The spirit of God, which is the spirit of the Son, does not learn. It has. It recognizes. So, perception is a function of your mind. So, as believers, for example, in the Spirit of God, we are one and the same. Where we differ is our perception. A man can argue till kingdom come that he doesn't have the life of God. He can argue that he cannot speak in tongues. He can say till kingdom come. The issue is his perception. You discover that the problem has been maybe the kind of church he had been attending. Told you the story of a brother who were in university together. So we met a couple of days ago, a lawyer as well. And the way he ran at me, he said, look, he didn't want to let me go, but I just had to go myself. I had to take a call to run away. He said, look, people have been mistaught. And I saw the brother with nice jeans, not the regular jeans, dirty jeans. And that brother was so holy in those days that, you know, you couldn't even touch the thing of his infirmity, or you wouldn't touch the thing of your own infirmity. But so the point was, he said, you know, these things, and you could see that he was coming, he had been a Christian for years. But like one brother like that, you know, I saw him in 1996. He had been saved in 1986. And he was tallying for the Holy Ghost. I said, you will die this way. What are you going to say? Ah, that is, he had gone through all, and you see, the more I think about it. The more he kept hearing sermons on tarrying, the dollar is perception worth. Not dollars. Dollars. Dollar. But I say, hey, but I for those that have dollars. I didn't say that. The dollar, D-U-L-L-E-R, is perception. That's why you discover that. If you say something on social media, if you say something, some folks, they will respond without reading it. Have you observed it? I submit to you that over 80% don't read. They just say, even those who like, you assume you are saying something that you have not said. Say, oh, I'm blessed. I know. How did you read something I posted 8:05? By 8:06, you are blessed. You are not blessed. I know you are not blessed. I'm sure you are not blessed. Something else blessed you. Your perception blessed you. And you know, some guys I remember I told something about a woman who has to work 24 hours and all that. And somebody responded, you observed that they didn't read it. Are you saying that she's not submit? There's no submission throughout the post. But in the mind, it's just that they've been taught that anybody who talks like this is women liberation. So it's a mindset. The mind works like that. Because the mind has no residual knowledge. That's why people, when they hear the word, rather than hear the word in an always a good heart, they will mix it up. They'll mix it up. They'll mix it up. They'll mix it up. Paul say, I tell you something. We are seated together, we cry, hallelujah. I say, we are seated, hallelujah. We are seated. And he said, and I'm telling you, that same power will raise you out of your problem. You can see that there's something there that is just coming out. As he was hearing the word, he was hearing with a mindset. And somebody said, are you now saying, if somebody is born again, a trumpet should sound, will he follow? Somebody said, are you saying that if somebody commits fornication and Jesus will come, he will go? I said, yes. The guy said, are you now saying that no matter what somebody does? I said, yes. Are you now preaching lessons for sin? I said, yes. Is this not false talking? I say, yes. Yeah. Because you are asking foolish questions. You are asking a foolish question.
The term fornication was not in his mouth. He's just a dirty mind. Very dirty mind. How did you bring that into this discussion? Dirty mind. Why don't you appreciate the love of God? Why go into, are you saying? I remember in school, I said, you just said. You said. So, the mind of man is far. Some guys are, it takes, if they see the Bible like this, they say, I feel don't believe. You know, so that brother, 10 years. You know the funny thing? The scriptures I used to explain to him were the same scriptures he was reading. Like the Enoch. Do you think? That is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. His spirit was in prison all along. When he spoke in prison, he scattered the chairs. Because my father don't break our chairs. What's that? 10 whole years. Carrying for the Holy Spirit. And he didn't go to Jerusalem. He stayed in Nikorodu, waiting for the Holy Spirit. If you are going to obey the Bible, it says, tarry in Jerusalem. Here to the end. You go to Jerusalem. That will cost money. 1 Corinthians, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Look at Paul. John. I want to say Paul. Hereby we know, or better say we realize, that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him, our conscience, our mind, we assure ourselves. So, what knowledge does not make us anything, it assures us. It assures our hearts. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. You observe that. You know, he's not taught. But he knows. He knows all things. That's the word genos. He recognizes all things. So he knows that if our mind still confuses us, God is greater. He knows all things. And that's why he said he gave us his spirit. So we can say the spirit of God knows all things. So perception, you know, when we did this, we said that. Just like a TV station. That the signals are coming from the station. But they are being received by a receiver or an antenna. Or a cable receiver. That the issue never is with what is transmitted. It's with the receiver. So, the mind is the receiver. Because it is in the mind that we have our emotions. That's where we take decisions. Logical, illogical. That's where our speech comes from. Our thought pattern. So, that is where we receive and perceive things. So, our spirit relates to our mind by revelation. Now, listen carefully to this. You know, we spoke about tongues earlier on. I'll just go over that again. Let's look at tongues. Tongues, you know, we said tongues is also wisdom. Right? And it's insight. Are we right here? So, I speak in other tongues now. Keseninga, katupa, tishikir, katile, kadokunze, balahata. Now, my mind is aloof. Because my mind, as at the present moment, can comprehend English, not French. I never liked French. Maybe I was that good. You get it. And then, speaking English, and Nigerian kind of English also. That's a given. Yoruba. There are different kinds of Yoruba. I think Ijebu primarily, which is the best.
some eba. So, you know, that's all. So, my mind is just aloof. So, but he says, in the spirit, he speaks inside. So there's a disconnect. No man understands. That word, man, no man understands. Him. Say, no man understands. So the mind of man does not comprehend tongues. Just the same way we read 1 Corinthians 2. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks unto men. Why? Because it comes out in a man's language. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. So let's go to the practice of it. Verse 14. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. But my understanding is what? Unfruitful. The Greek says it cannot catch the meaning. How is it then? I will pray with the spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. So, in other words, the issue with my mind is it did not understand it. So it says, if you're blessed with the Spirit, how shall he who occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you are saying? Thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So, we streamline our talk to understanding, which is the mind. Understanding. So, prophecies, you must be able to connect this easily. Prophecies give, God help me to say this well. Prophecies, now, so prophecies in the human language, English, Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, French. So, prophecy is to where? To where? To where? Because the mind functions by what it hears and what it sees. So, prophecy is to the mind. So, interpretation of tongues is for what? The mind. It is the mind or the spirit unveiling its thoughts. Right? To universal mind. Unveiling his thoughts. That means that 1 Corinthians 12:10, I can say, God has revealed them unto us by interpretation of tongues. And I'll be safe. I can take the things of the Spirit of God and bring them to my understanding via what? Interpretation of tongues. Is it clear? So, as a tongue, the prophecy gives human perception to the inward witness. Or better still, what the Spirit knows. Don't forget that the word ginosko, like Luke 1:34, is an experiential thing. It's not words. So that means my tongues and the appearance of tongues gives expression to the experience of the Spirit. Or the things of the Spirit. It gives expression. It gives expression to the things of the Spirit of God. So this is how I put it, and I think it makes sense. That prophecy is to verbalize in human words what is in the inward witness. So, we'll look at a few things now. What is in the inward witness? Let me ask you. In tongues. In tongues. Is the human mind involved? Huh? Well, it's just a listener. In interpretation, is the human mind involved? Your understanding is active. The way you verbalize, for example, you speak in a language already in your mind. I think I taught you this in tongue interpretation. You're right there. So let's look at it like this. That means, but let me ask you, is prophecy by the Spirit? Huh? Yet you are involved. Right? Look at this. Now, look at Acts 21. Remember, when we say in the Spirit, remember we looked at Peter. Look at Acts 21. Put it on Acts 21. Verse 4. We read this. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Let me ask you. Was Paul meant to go to Jerusalem? Eh? But they said it to him through the Spirit. Don't be confused. Through the Spirit will be what? Through tongues and interpretation of tongues. Where their human mind got involved. So, through the Spirit could just mean they began by tongues, then in the interpretation, their perception interfered. Obviously, they sense danger for Paul, which will have come by tongues and interpretation of tongues. But then now, they search it further to bring their perception. Look at what I'm going to show you. Remember Peter. You know, Peter was in the Spirit. What did Peter do in the Spirit? He doubted. Are you aware? He was active. That's Peter under the law. As he was born again, but under the law. You see some believers. No activity. You have a vision, a dream. You are just a spectator. Say the dog is chasing you. That's the only activity. You are running. He says a lot about you. In this, you know, Peter questioned in the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? And what was playing that role was his mind. So your mind can function in the things of the Spirit in its own level of understanding. So those guys simply went, they spoke by the Spirit, yet their mind was involved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it clear? So, when people prophesy, their perception is involved. When they prophesy, is involved. Yet Paul, in Acts 20, 22 says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, which is the inward witness. We look at the word soon. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Yeah, as he's going, I say, don't go. And they said it by the Spirit. Are you following? Look at verse 12, Acts 21. We've seen it before. Go back again. So, we must understand that utterances usually carry a human element. And that's what is important. Now, I think I taught this in Calvary ministry. That prophecy is not authoritative. It's not like the Bible. It's not authoritative at all. I remember a couple like that. That somebody was saying this. It was prophesying. And I was there. And you shall stand together. And take the word. And do this. And to the nations and all that. They were not married. But in those you call it the gate. You say the gate. We say, that's the vulcanizer and that's the fire. Don't mind our joke then. But the point was this, both of them did not eventually marry. Now, because the guy who prophesied was my friend. Now, not that he's God with the Lord. But the point was he wrong? You know, just like these guys. They actually stood together till they scattered. You understand? They stood together. Only that he now went and said that and to the nations. I don't think the nations was in his tongues. Because it, are you following what I'm saying? So, what is expected is both the speaker and the hearer should pay attention to the inward witness. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Is this helping you? Is this helping you? Look at what now happened. To now make matters worse, Paul now got to the house of, not worse, to now exacerbate the matter, got to the house of Philip. Then all his daughters. Now it's good to, you know, they didn't say, they didn't just stop food. Or ask for counseling about, Pastor Paul, you are here. One guy is asking me out in my school. That's not what they did. You know? So that's what they have to offer. Only encounter with the supernatural is when they want to marry. You know, and that's why. Okay, let me go. So they prophesied. We don't know the content, but it seems somehow. By the time he got to Agabus in his own style, just grabbed the guys that the social the Jews. They do this. And Paul, when Paul, how that happened, you know, it was those who were following him, which Luke was one of them, Acts 21. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So it's obvious that what they said in verse 5 was more on the danger the persecution of the Roman authorities and the Jews. They now got in their own perception. Do you understand what I'm saying? We'll see it in a moment. We'll see it in Paul's life very soon. They now got involved. Now, what bailed Paul out was the inward witness. He was an active participant in the inward witness. I remember I was with a man who I believe, maybe I can't say the prophet, but then I believe he's a man of God. That I believe, I mean, he's been in the ministry for many years. So as I got to his office, he just said, he just mentioned, we had never had more than a discussion. He just mentioned training ministers. So I kept quiet. And he said, I know that, but that was 98 about October. It was October, I was on my way to South Africa to preach then. So he said, he said that. And because really what he said was authentic. So he said, he will give me all the churches in Nigeria to preach and over Africa. He now said, in the prophecy. You know, of course he's speaking by the Spirit. He now said, I was going to head his Bible school. Now, of course, as he said that, even before he got to that point, I had a check. I'd learned enough of how to be led by the Spirit of God, Brother Hagin, to know what a check is. I had a check. And I did not argue with him. I took the A part and left the B part. I preached in all his churches, but I never went to that Bible school. You understand? So, he spoke the will of God in to a degree of his perception of it. So, are you following me? Now look at what Paul did. Paul said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? That means they were crying. That's serious. Bro Paul. There is somebody who wants to marry you and is crying. Calm down. Why is he crying? Bro Paul. Why did I say that? It's not related though. So, he says, Bro Paul, we miss you. And they were going to get him out of the will of God. We miss you. Bro Paul. And he said, why do you want to break my heart? He says, look, I am ready not to be bound only, so forget that, but also to die at Jerusalem for the day of the Lord. And when he will not be persuaded, we seize. That's Luke talking. He was part of them.
saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now look at that statement. That means don't go was not the will of the Lord. Are you following me? That word will is the word thelema in the Greek. I told you what it means. It means a preferred offer. That means everybody was talking in degrees of the will of God. He said, okay, that which is preferred in the will of God, let it be done. Obviously, it was obvious that God had revealed to them there was going to be persecution and bond. He said, let it which is preferred in the will of God, let it be done. And that shows you the superiority of the inward witness above utterances. Yet, utterances come from the same Spirit. But because utterances already have human element in the way it is ministered. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this clear? So, look at Acts 27. Acts 27. Hallelujah. So, when utterances are flowing forth from you or another person, you must not sidestep the inward witness. You mustn't. You mustn't. And you know, if you notice this particular series, focuses a lot on ministers. And as a pastor here, you know, we say things and I know that that's what God wants. And I've just returned and said, let's leave this. That means along the line, I had a check as to the timing of things. So don't look at research for me. That I said, by June. You know? Even God said, Jesus said, I come shortly. He said, this is how I'll be shortly. It's true. Because if you start setting timelines, almost more often than not, you'll be out of God's will. I must marry by 25. You know, people do that kind of thing. And at that point, they delude their mind. I must. Except you have an express instruction from God. Never do I must. I must. And things succeeding does not mean it's the, and I said that to you. Achievement is not a proof of obedience. At all. Achievement sometimes is a proof that you don't obey. Because sometimes obeying God will mean we did not achieve anything. Paul is saying that when he embraced the righteousness of God in Christ, he now found everything done. That means some things were not achieved anymore. So the thing is, you know, imagine Paul following God in Acts 16. When, listen very well, when they went to go to Asia, the Spirit did not allow them to go. When the Spirit allowed them to go, they went to jail. And they went to jail. So they said, boy, they're going to jail. Is that not what we're preaching about it? We know that I had a sermon, we did not go to jail. And the jailer. The jailer would not be walking in an eatery or synagogue. He had to walk in the jail. That's why it's called the jailer. Hallelujah. And they prayed and they sang. Even the children's church had something to say. The Holy Ghost came down. Paul and Silas. So, it worked together for me. I hope you got my point. You know? But, as if he went to town, whatever. You know? He would have gotten that testimony. Praise God. It's important. Look at the sermon we have today on all the things you see are delivered unto me. We have had that sermon. It's just a dodge the wilderness. And after John's baptism, he just said, bring the blind, bring the deaf. You know? So, obedience is the proof of itself. You don't look at results. You know, you can marry a man, and this is because you are going to suffer together for the gospel, that you will be the person's helpmeet in suffering for the gospel. And you say, I miss God. See where this man is taking us to. Afghanistan. And you look at your Facebook. You see your friend in New York, backsliding.
But you have no proof, save your obedience. Hallelujah. I thought I want something. Yet God, this is by the way, but it will help. That you believe God told him, what about just, I don't want to mention what it exactly was. So I told him, I said, you know what? If it is God, I said, if it fails, what does he say? Ah, never! I have a God who has calmed down. It can fail. God can send it to people to preach and they will stone you. And you are in the will of God. So what if it fails? Make sure you will not regret it. I said, that is consecration. That, okay, it now doesn't work. Consecration is that, whether it works or not, I will not regret doing what I'm doing. You understand what I'm talking about? Consecration is that, Lord, I will follow you. You are the only way to success. Only through you can I make it in life. This condition. Condition precedent. Hallelujah. Are you following my point? Imagine Silas in my head. Where they were. Silas and the other. Where did we get this wrong? Oh, it was his spirit. Maybe it was not his spirit. That utterance came through Pastor Jake. You don't get a question, babe. That utterance. No. He came through Sister Jumi. Okay, then I want to say something. because he just prayed. And then he glorified God in sound. And that was delivered. Hallelujah. Well, I said, that's it! That is it! If God is with you, I know that. But eventually, what happened? When he now went to Jerusalem, he was caught. All his letters, he wrote them as prisoners. Most of them. Some people would just have been writing, see my life. See what this has led me to. And they'll be writing. You know? You just say, I'm just sharing my mind. Can I not say what I'm doing? And you don't know what I'm doing. I'm saying what I'm going through. Hallelujah. What is the word of God is profound. Hallelujah. You can see that Paul's experience deepened his revelation of Jesus. I don't know when I'm going to teach this, but I'll say this. His experience in prison actually was the depth of his revelation in Christ. It's actually where he got to the point that he knew no man after the flesh. Hallelujah. We teach why John was the one that had to have the book of Revelation. There's a reason. It is that experience he had was what birthed that epistle. If he did not have that experience, he would never have seen that vision. Never. We'll see it later. So, obedience is the proof of obedience, not achievements. Are you following? Okay. So look at Acts 27 verse 10. This is a very funny one, but Paul admonished them in verse 9 and said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the ship, but also of our lives." I perceive. Paul thinks something. And he said it. Now, what do you call verse 10? An utterance. Right? Is it an utterance? Is it an utterance? Watch this. That word I perceive, let me give you, is a Greek word theorio. T-H-E-O-R-E-O, theorio. It means to gaze, to look at, or to observe. Is it in John 4:19? John 4:19. When that woman said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Then, Acts 7:56. Stephen, when he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Acts 17:22. That was theorio is used at theaters. When you observe, it's to be a spectator from the Greek word theoros. T-E-T-H-E-O-R-O-S. So now, that means to take
to take to it's like to interpret something. So Paul was interpreting something. But you know that he never mentioned his spirit or the spirit here. He didn't. So obviously, his mind was interpreting things. And he made a wrong conclusion. The same thing we just read earlier. Acts, the same place, verse 20-25, he now had an angel appear to him. Now, something curious is this. In Acts 23 and verse 11, he had a vision that said, you will surely go to Jerusalem. You must bear my name. You must suffer there. So what happened between 23 and 27? Oftentimes, our experiences becloud our judgment. Let me now say this. You know that when the sheep will be rescued, only the occupants were rescued. But I believe God. We will get to that. That is, it wasn't even an escape route for Paul. It was actually leading him in the very will of God. And it wasn't convenient either. So, never see convenience as something, I have peace. Of course, when you see the guy's passport, there are so many visas, you have peace. For the damsel, the father is on Forbes list, you see, as he talked to me on the phone. Well, you quickly Google the name, you say you have peace. Why we not have peace? Because I have peace. One dancer like that. She came to me, hey, what say? I have three things I want to discuss with you. I know I tell them, discuss the third one. I know the third one. Go straight to the point. This is the first one, say about my fellowship, sir. Please don't forget me. I know your zonal pastor. All the village. If you need, go and leave the community. Second one, generally about my finances. The third one, hurry up. Actually, I was already thinking, that's where you have been going. All the prophets prophesied until John. Don't stop there. I want to see you, sir. So that is talking about. Now, before I was the pastor of the fellowship. What do you want? About mention the guys is and just like you taught us. I have peace about it. I said you have peace. So that's what I said, not the peace of God passes all. It passes. How can you be going for counseling and be mentioning God told you? So I'm to counsel God. You don't even know how to. Of course, the thing is just wear jago. The dancer backslid. The guy was not even a Christian. He came to the fellowship, you know, to our cell, just for our sake. He knew, you know, don't even know what you want. You know what you want. The preacher wants us to say, glory! You have peace, by the time I say. You say, you have been studying my Bible, I've been enjoying explanation of all things. Hallelujah. Christ is all. How can Christ be all? Is Christ your father? So wait. Visions will give you, write this down. Revelation gifts often come with the facts. They will come with the facts to clarify. You see, the way we are led by God is a series of things. The word of this is there, and the gifts of the Spirit are there. So it will come. There is no perception you have that there's no clarity that comes to you. It's just, you should pay attention. Sometimes it just comes as I'm preaching. Don't forget, the Spirit of God that is in you is the agency of the teaching. So it's as good as it's your Spirit speaking. So the truth is, oftentimes it's because we are not paying attention. But Paul was in this instance. So the inward witness, write this down, is the umpire for all direction via gifts of the Spirit. Is the umpire for all direction. Let me define the inward witness as I've been doing for years. The inward witness is the witness of the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of the believer, which endorses, refutes, attests a fact that is exposed to it. That is the essence of that witness. It will endorse, refute, attest to, or reject. So, that's how it works. Look at Acts 20:22. Let's look at experiential example. Acts 20:22. Rush, because I'm running now. Acts 20:22. I go bound in the Spirit. Bound. It means to be compelled. In other words, not knowing. So, where is the knowing? Huh? Not knowing the things that will befall me. But in the Spirit, I am compelled to keep going. Save which the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. That is what? Utterances. Or revelation gifts. That bonds and afflictions await me. In his mind, he has no information. Except what comes by prophecy. But in his Spirit, he is compelled to go. He is compelled. Go. So let's see other examples. Acts 16:18. When that lady was following Paul, Bible says he was grieved. That word grieved means to be worked up. Acts 4:2. He was worked up. It is the word D-I-A-P-O-N-E-O-M-A-I. Diaponeomai. D-I-A-P-O-N-E-O-M-A-I. It means to be, M-A-I, sorry. It means to be fatigued, to be worn out. That is his spirit. He had an expression of fatigue. What's going on? Just feel something uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. That is, that happens when something is happening around you that you should react to. Uncomfortable. The first one, he knew. He was compelled, sorry. Look at another one. Acts 17:16. Paul was stirred in the Spirit. Acts 17:16. Stirred in the Spirit means to be spurred to action. 22 times it is used. It's the word paroxuneo. P-A-R-O-X-U-N-O. To be spurred to action. Just something like to be provoked. You know that in every instance, pay attention. Where's Acts 20, Acts 16, or Acts 17? He saw something or heard something.
So the inward witness reacts to a fact. He is provoked. In these instances, no words were spoken to him. The other one, Acts 19:21, he proposed in the spirit. He proposed, which is the word thysemi. It means to be established or to be resolved. There's just a resolve in you. A resolve. Have you seen that verse that in your mind is full of doubt. But inside there's just a resolve. It's an inward witness. You won't find words. Don't forget, the spirit knows that it is an experience. And that experience is beyond your thinking. It's beyond what you're hearing. It's just an experience inside. So that's why the inward witness looks like an emotion. An emotion that is not emotional. Do you understand? It's not a natural emotion. Something bad happens, and then you have a different expression inside. That is, you have tears in your mind, and then you cry. But outside your mind, there's a resolve. There's something else independent of your natural emotion. That's the inward witness. So, the inward witness, I told you, I went to a country to preach. And, you know, sometimes I was just in a hurry. You know, the way the invitation came like a week. You know, said, you know, they've been looking for me. So, I was in university in 98. And, funny enough, they came at about the time I was writing my exams. They just came, you have to go. This and this and this and this and all that. And what I was trying to say, well, my passport, they said, no, they got a very passport for me that will go with a team. And so, okay, great. So, I quickly just dashed down, you know, got to Lagos, picked up and all that. They had informed me that I was likely to travel, but they did not tell me the time. So, I wasn't taking it to, I was talking about it, but the thing just came through. And of course, I intended to preach in, you know, two different countries. I'm involved in Soto, so it was great and all that. And I said, they really want to hear you. Somebody listened to one tape like that, supernatural living or something like that, and they were blessed, and also I said, no problem. So, I flew. After 8 hours, I slept off, of course, strangely, because I'd done exam the previous day and all that. By the time I landed at the airport, for the first time, I knew I wasn't supposed to come there. Now, of course, I didn't have enough money to take a return flight. So, let Christ be. I know if I get to the bema seat of Jesus, I will not be rewarded for that. Even though people are saved, I hope you are getting the point. Do you understand? I know. I already know. It's not a surprise. I knew. What am I doing here? Something I knew in my head that I was coming to. What am I doing? Meanwhile, one of my very good friends told me, hallelujah, the Lord told me that look at Shep with an example of obedience. I looked at him and I said, I just knew that this fellow, I have to be careful for him. Like Paul said, why do you break my heart? I knew. Hallelujah. For example, I know when I was in school, there was a fellowship that I knew I ought to pastor. I just knew. I still say it though. But, it's not like I need the fellowship now. But I knew. I knew. I knew I will pastor it. I should pastor it. And they use politics and I didn't pastor it. I knew. And I said to them, I said, watch it. There will be a death of revelation knowledge on this campus. Now just watch. And that's all these joint movements. AUCCTF. That they are learning how to close, how to go and attack fellowships. Undergraduate. They know how to write petitions. You could. Let me talk. Let me talk. Because you will see that this is not the interest of the gospel. And they will leave a canker and great message. They will be pursuing those who are preaching eternal security. They cannot say on this campus, we will not take it. That's the devil. That's the devil. Politics. You now go and see one professor who will now say they are banning all, because of one fellowship, so they are banning all fellowship meetings outside the campus. Is this the synagogue of Satan? You understand? I knew. I took my pastorate that year. Listen carefully. That pastorate had somebody, a pastor, so I took over the pastor, and just the workforce were close to 300 plus. Just the workforce. But I knew that was not the place. So I said, I took over the pastorate in January, late January 1998. I said, by May, I'm going to be out of here. So the church started growing, started liking me. You know, that's enough to say, ah. I said, do you remember I'm going this month? I said, ah, you are still going. May 20, 1998. I said, this is my last sermon here. And I left. You want to see me off? I said, don't see me off. Go back. Going. You understand? You must know how to follow the inward witness.
There was time like that we had visions and all that. And we knew something about campuses. And we knew there was going to be a campus that we'll go to. And then we'll mentor people from there to ministry. And it will be for a while. And at that point, we were traveling around Nigeria. At least we visited over 50 campuses within a year or two. All over the country. So there were some places that, the reception was lovely. They would put you in a hotel. They would do this lovely place. When I told a friend of mine, who was a pastor in Unilag then, he had left Unilag, but he was still, he said, so, and I had a meeting for them. Told them how to flow with the Holy Ghost. It was a bam meeting. The meeting was, it was the Holy Ghost. You know, I taught them word of knowledge by practice. You know, it was a weird meeting at the chapel. The guy said, no problem. Let's see what you said you sensed in your heart to do. Let's do it here. He said, we'll do this. We'll just set up an office and then we'll do it. I said, no. I don't do things like that. That's too fast. Let's give you some time. Say, you don't start. You these hacking boys. Let's do what we'll do. I said, no. I knew that wasn't the place. Even though their reception was solid. In fact, when I went to preach there, 2001 or so, they gave us fleet of cars. The kind of reception, the kind of ushers, were lodging hotel. Even my crew, the team, they were just going fast. Eating apple. They are enjoying. The kind of things that they gave me when I finished preaching, just 2 days meeting or so, was you feel the boot of a car. And it was like the right place. But I just knew, no, it's not here. Do you know where it was? This was because we won't pay for accommodation. It was last week, man. They put us in one room. That room did not have light. We were fetching water to use bathroom. I was really angry. I just said, let's just, it was a funny, very, so the thing doesn't work right. So I just said, well, we're just praying about it. Just wait about it. So, Pastor Lan now came. So he came looking very confused. And a friend of his, you know. And he just came. As they were talking, I just knew that this is the place. I was not happy. He was saying, sir, you know, we need, this place. Where they came to meet us were the ones that paid for the accommodation. You know? But that was the place. Hallelujah. But just by following the inward witness. Do you understand? Because if I followed my head, they didn't have honorarium, they didn't have anything like that. Nothing like that. We gave them free books, free tapes. They did not give anything back. We were so grateful.
Go and do evangelism. One of these days, our Muslim brother said, so everything did not work together for our good affairs. But the inward witness. Amen. Are you following my point? Mm-hmm. So, now, what do I do when I know? Now, the point is that most of us make a mistake. When I now know what to do, we now go and tell the world, foolishly, hallelujah, I sensed I'm going to preach in Nicaragua. Calm down. We often make a mistake. We pray for leading. No, we don't pray for leading. We pray more when we now know what we are led to do. You know, in Acts 13, when they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. You know that the Bible says, you know, verse 1 and 2 did not even mention prayer. It was after they knew what to do that they now prayed. We can infer that from Mrs. Lord they prayed, but we're not clear. But obviously it was when they knew what to do that they now prayed. You don't stop praying and fasting. You don't. So they now prayed and fasted. You follow me? Because in that will come the finite details. The final details. Where it will come from. The details. And that's when, okay, it's going to go like this. It's going to go like that. It's going to go like this. And I've always told you, you can never get all of God's plan at once. It's going to be revealed. You can never. It's going to be revealed. You can never. You will walk in it. You will not jump to the end. You will walk. So that's the right time. If you now know, you sense it, you have to start a church. Oh, so and so. The next thing, you are looking for name. Name is not your problem. Eh? Do you know why RCCG is a nice name? Because it is a big church. There are some nicer names that didn't take off at all as a fellowship. Insight into Christ's mission. They've not held their first service. You understand? Somebody called, if you hear mountain of fire and miracle, you'll be discouraged. That's not the word. But it's there. Do you understand? Zion in Christ, the word no more. It has not started the first prayer meeting. So the first thing to do is not to go and do CAC incorporation. CAC incorporation. Or Facebook. People are so funny. They like Facebook. Show our first service. They're not serious. They'll be showing pictures. You now be doing pictures somewhere. You will see the entire, you know, deemed, I know that thing. You understand? What you have to blow, it means it's not happening. Amen. What you need to blow by media means it's not happening to men. Because men will save themselves. Hallelujah. One guy went to open a YouTube channel. I said, calm down now. Calm down. Hallelujah. Calm down. Amen. Praise God. I was talking about our leaders on Monday or Saturday. Don't be in a hurry. Is it to post on Facebook? We are going to have satellite station. You will preach. Amen. You won't need anybody to like it. It will be liked before you preach. But when you are in a hurry, where are you going to? If you are 25, I want to do ministry for 15 years. By 40, you go to glory. You know what I'm saying? Not the glory of God here. Calm down. Hallelujah. See, so what do I do? I say you don't stop praying. Then meditate. You see, whenever you have a witness or a prophecy, Meditate on it. Wait for me, I close now. Meditate. Spend time. There are some utterances I got like 20 years ago. I still meditate upon it. Because that's exactly what Paul said to Timothy. Meditate on these things. He was not talking about scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Learn to meditate. When you meditate, you are knocking the door of your understanding. You are bringing light to your understanding. Meditate. Meditate. Hallelujah. Meditate. 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 Good. Obeying the inward witness trains your mind to follow God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of worship. Say there, say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, notice that, you may dokimos, you may approve that which is the good, the acceptable and perfect will of God. The more you renew your mind, you are training your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, no war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said to casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now he had something I want to mention. 2 Corinthians 10. He now says, he says, I'm bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. And having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is revealed. See, when you obey the inward witness often, you train your mind. Your mind gets used to it. When you disobey the inward witness too, you are training your mind to disobey. James 1 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The more you practice these things, you train your mind often. Your mind knows that your logic doesn't lead you. Your mind knows, no matter how intelligent your submission is, this fellow will still listen to his spirit. You are training yourself. But you, if you are the emotional type, you are always crying, you are always feeling afraid, you are always in doubt and all that, you will train your mind that way. So, you must train your mind to follow your spirit. Amen. So, consistent disobedience will train your mind. Consistent obedience will train your mind. Let me say this. Also, if you learn to obey instantly the voice of your spirit, actually, EWK can take it like this. Put the word first place. Meditate upon the word. They now say, speak the word and instantly obey the voice of your spirit. I love that part. They say, instantly. You see, when you learn to respond to the inward witness, you are training your mind. You can't train your spirit. It knows the things of God. But your mind. So, when thoughts come, somebody says things to you, do this one. But again, you can be under pressure. When family puts you under pressure like this, your mind knows that he won't do anything yet. This guy. He will still go and pray in tongues. You know, because, so he will still pray in tongues. He will start this and he will fast. Hallelujah. Personally, I've learned to be slow. The older I become in the natural, and of course, I'm not older in the spirit. But the more experience I have in the spirit, I just learn to be slow. It just helps. Brother Hagin will say, being a little bit slower than God is better than being ahead. Because when you are ahead, you are not likely to hear anything. So just be slow. Then I tell some ladies, how can you give a brother yes? Almost in a microsecond. Yes. He brings a ring to you, sit in that bed. Are you okay? See? And then they dim the lights. Just say, stand up, brother. Stand up. Stand up. Keep your ring. I'll pray about it. Tia, why do you want to pray? The Holy Ghost is telling you something. What other evidence do you have to say no? I can't wait, oh! What are you praying about? Ah, God is talking. Are you blessed? Give God praise, I think.